You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
More utility hacking, this time in Israel. Al-Qaeda takes a sorry information operations page from the rival ISIS playbook. At least two cyber reconnaissance campaigns are reported in progress. Shaky Wi-Fi security affects info sharing and IoT products. Business email compromise hits a Belgian bank. And threat intelligence providers talk about what can be learned from watching the dark web. France seeks legal reach into data held in foreign servers. China's PLA goes Sun Tzu on cyber deterrence. And legislators in New York and California display an urge to weaken encryption. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, January 27, 2016. Israeli officials said yesterday that the country's electrical grid came under cyber attack this week. Energy Minister Steinitz called the attack severe, but said it was being successfully mitigated. Details are scarce, but it appears computers in the utility's networks were infected with malware, and that response teams isolated the infected machines to prevent the malware's spread. Electrical power seems not to have been disrupted, but efforts at defense and mitigation are continuing. There's been no public attribution of this attempt on the Israeli grid, but the incident is likely to increase security worries at utilities worldwide, especially since it follows closely on the heels of the attack on power distribution in Ukraine. Utilities in Western Europe have already identified cybersecurity as their top investment priority for 2016. From North Africa, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb releases a video of a Swiss nun kidnapped in Mali to warn unbelievers to stay clear of Islamic territory. In this, Al-Qaeda is taking a page from rival ISIS's information operations playbook, demonstrations of resolution against the infidel as a way of displaying zeal, power, and inspiration. Palo Alto Networks describes a new campaign by the Chinese ATP group, Codoso, sometimes spelled with zeros substituted for the letter O, and also known as the Sunshop Group. Best known for compromising a portion of Forbes' website, Codoso appears engaged in espionage against targets in the telecommunications, tech, legal services, education, and manufacturing sectors. Codoso is still using spear phishing and watering holes to gain access, but this time it appears to be going after servers as opposed to endpoints. Symantec reports seeing a different campaign in the wild. This one, said to have infected some 3,500 servers worldwide, involves an injection code attack and appears to represent reconnaissance and possibly battle space preparations for some future, more damaging attack. The attackers appear to be collecting, SC Magazine says, page title, URL, refer, shockwave flash version, user language, monitor resolution, and host IP address. Core Security reports multiple vulnerabilities in Lenovo's Share IT product. Lenovo's now patched them. Some vulnerabilities involved an easily guessed default Wi-Fi password. That password was 123456789. Other vendors have seen comparable problems with Wi-Fi passwords. Sophos reports Wi-Fi security issues with home routers and smart doorbells. Businesses wonder whether cybercrime will increasingly come to be regarded as a cost of doing business, the way retailers regard predictable inventory shrinkage. U.S. hamburger chain Wendy's is investigating a possible pay card breach that might well be seen as a risk comparable to shrinkage. But it's hard to take that view of the large losses fraudulent fund transfers impose. Belgium's Crillon Bank reports losing 70 million euros, that's nearly $76 million, to a business email compromise scam. Such scams operate by gaining executive credentials, observing behavior on a targeted network, and then sending plausible-looking emails instructing employees to transfer money to an account controlled by the criminals. In industry news, Her Majesty's government continues to push programs that would support incubation of British cybersecurity startups. ThreatStream makes a case for hanging out in the creepier precincts of the dark web with a view to doping out cybercriminals' next move. They also tell V3 how they keep an eye out for data stolen from customers, often the first indication that a customer's been compromised. The CyberWire spoke with threat intelligence company ThreatConnect about how understanding the threat can help enterprise security.
If you can gain an understanding of the threats or adversaries that wish to do harm to your network and through various means and for various reasons, that you can better defend against them at not just at the tactical level of matching in the SIM, but you can also understand the adversaries better, grow your understanding of them so that you can better place your defenses to their capabilities and better predict or be better positioned to react to their capabilities as well.
That's ThreatConnect's Andy Pendergast. ThreatConnect recently launched a new version of their platform. You can learn more at ThreatConnect.com. In policy news, France moves to gain more investigative access to data held in foreign servers. U.S. state legislatures, notably those in New York and California, continue to moot restrictions on smartphone encryption. Wired says these proposed encryption bans make zero sense because of cyberspace's inherent lack of borders. Quote, an idea roughly as practical as policing undocumented birds crossing the Mexican border, end quote. But about the larger effect such gestures could have, we don't know. Migratory bird policing aside, state laws, whether well-conceived or ill-conceived, have played an outsized role in American policy development in the past. Consider the role of California law, indeed of Los Angeles County law, in shaping automotive environmental standards, or the place Delaware occupies in business law. So, good ideas, bad ideas, or just politicians posturing, what goes on in the state houses isn't necessarily just for the birds.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
Once again, joining me is Marcus Roschecker, Cybersecurity Program Manager at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. They are one of our academic and research partners. Marcus, cyber warfare, with the situation recently in Ukraine, with their power grid being attacked, the question comes up, is that a incident of cyber warfare?
Well, that's a really important question, and it's not one that's easily answered. What constitutes an act of war in cyberspace? What constitutes use of force in cyberspace? It always seems to depend on who's asking the question and who's answering the question. In the real world, in the physical world, I think it's very easy to determine what constitutes the use of force and what might even amount to an act of war. But when we're talking cyberspace, it's a lot more difficult. When we don't have any physical consequences from a cyber attack, I think generally experts would agree that we haven't seen an act of war, or what would amount to an act of war, or a use of force even, when it comes to cyberspace. But in the instance of the Ukraine, we did see some physical consequences resulting from a cyber attack. An argument could be made that this was a use of force and potentially even an act of war. But that's something that legal experts and international experts are going to be debating.
And in the cyberspace, I mean, it's even harder to know often who's the party attacking us.
Exactly. That's what makes cyber warfare so difficult, because there's this whole problem of attribution. Again, in the real world, it's pretty easy to see who's attacking you. When you see the troops crossing the border or the planes coming into your airspace. But in cyberspace, it's often very difficult to determine accurately who is doing the cyber attack and where it's coming from and who's behind it.
And where does international law stand on this? Has it caught up to cyber warfare?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about among international law experts when it comes to cyber warfare. We have seen that international legal experts are applying existing law, like the United Nations Charter, to cyberspace. There's a general agreement that international law does apply to cyberspace. And then you have other legal experts who've gotten together to create documents like the Tallinn Manual, which kind of outline how these legal experts see the international law applying to cyberspace and how international law applies to cyber warfare.
All right, Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now, a word from our sponsor, Sixth Sense. Sixth Sense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With Sixth Sense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose Sixth Sense, visit sixthsense.com.